Good morning again. I want to share a brief word with you this morning because we have been celebrating our four lessons from farming. First, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for feeding us at your table, God, that you have given us an opportunity to gather around your table and remember exactly what you have done for us, O Lord. But we do this with the understanding that you will come again, that there is a time where we will be sharing the cup with you in heaven. So until that day, Lord, we give you thanks. And Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity to share this word this morning. I pray, God, that the spiritual truths that you've spoken into my heart and the excitement that I have, God, would be conveyed in a clear and concise and spirit-filled manner. In Jesus' name, amen. So a few weeks ago, if you hadn't been here before, I really felt like God said, this is what you need to talk on for the next 4 weeks. Because I had already chosen the harvest as the theme for this week, not knowing how God would prepare us. And so the more I thought about it, the more I realized, you know, I know an awful lot about farming. So, Brother Bill, did you grow up on a farm? Did you grow up on a farm? I know Pastor Grant did. Pastor and Mrs. Grant, there's PG back there. Where's Mrs. Grant? There she goes. I just want to honor them, too, as being spiritual fathers and mothers to us here at this church. Thank you for being here this morning. I know you grew up on a farm. And there's those in this room that have. Yeah, that's right. Come on, Roland. There's an awful lot that we can learn about spiritual things of God through the natural things of farming. You know, when you grow up in a farm, it's a little bit different than growing up in a suburb or maybe in a city. Things are done differently. I might swim in a pool now, but as I shared a few weeks ago, when I used to swim, I swam after doing hay baling all afternoon on a hot August day. I would be sweaty and disgusting with all kinds of scratches from the hay bales, and we would jump right in the pond in the middle of the field. And it was the same pond that we watered the cows with. So if we didn't get up out of the water with a frog on our heads, we would pull the leeches off at the end and then walk another mile back to the house. And that's how we grew up. Very dirty, scooping out the barn. Feeding animals, but it was a beautiful way to be raised. And so the past few weeks we've talked about the four lessons from farming, and the first one is that we need to prepare ourselves. So I'm going to give you a brief overview because not everybody's been here the whole 4 weeks so that you can understand where we're going with this. So we prepare our hearts. We soften our hearts for the things of God. And it's just like the farmer preparing the soil. We turn the soil over, right, to prepare. We fertilize. We make available the things so that the things that are planted thrive. It's the same way. We had the parable of the scattering of the seeds, the farmer that scatters the seeds. And so there were the three things that we needed to watch out for. The first was doubt. The second is deep. And the third thing was deceit, right? The first seed scattered on the stone and it bounced off and it wasn't received. And that basically is because those are doubters, people that don't really believe. Their hearts aren't softened to the things of God, and so they can't receive the seed that is sown. We also need to know that we need to go deep, right? When we prepare the soil, we want to dig deep, right? I transplanted the bushes from my mom's house. You have to make a big hole to prepare to receive something so the roots will actually go down deep and thrive. And the other part is that we need to beware of being deceived. Right? Once that seed is planted in our lives, we have to make sure that we are not going to fall victim to deceit, the lies of the enemy, the worldly things that come away and steal our joy. The second week we talked about sowing, that there's three things that we needed to watch out when we sow. One, that God knows what you sow. Right? God knows exactly what we're sowing in our lives. And it's not just the financial things, it's spiritual things, our behaviors, the things that we sow into our families, into our culture, into our communities. God knows what we sow. Number two, what you sow, you will reap. So we want to make sure that we're sowing good seed so that we can reap a good harvest. And three, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. And that's a big if. So the promise is that we will reap a harvest, right? That's God's promises. But the crucial part is that if. We can't give up, even though the work might be difficult. And last week we talked about weed, water, and wait, that we need to begin to do the weeding part, right? When everything starts growing up and we have the seed that's sown and things begin to grow, we have flowers, we have fruit, and we have weeds that grow alongside one another. And as they mature, you actually see if it's a weed or if it's fruit. And we need to begin to be pruning ourselves so that we're more fruitful. We need to water, make sure that we're planted in living water, the water of Christ. And then we need to wait. And sometimes that's the hardest part, the waiting. But that's where God does some of the best work in our lives, the waiting place, right? Not the Dr. Seuss waiting place where they all kind of had bug eyes and they weren't doing anything, but it's a practical, an active, not a passive wait. We wait with expectation. We wait praying and reading God's word and standing on his promises because he does promise that we will reap a harvest. So this week, we're going to celebrate the harvest. It's a harvest celebration today. We celebrate today because this is the harvest party. Based on what we've sown already for the past 12 months, which you saw in the video, there's been a lot of sowing into this community, into this church. And farmers of yore, years gone by, they'd have a big harvest party where everybody would get together and they'd bring everything that they had and there would be a big celebration. And they would give thanks to God for what he had done in their lives and the harvest that he brought into their storehouses. For those of you that are recently joining us, there are many events that have brought us this far. We started small. When I first came back from boot camp, Brother Bill, the first thing I did was have a home meeting. I said, I'm going to share the vision, and I'm going to begin with whoever will come. Some of those people that were in that room are still here, and some are not, and that's okay. We started small. We began meeting in homes once a month. We prayed once a month. We started doing small groups once a month so that we could gather and consistently share the vision. God began to bring people. In the fall, we began to pray circles. You remember the circle maker? We began to pray circles around this community and in our lives, and God blessed that. During Thanksgiving, we had our first giving of food to those in need. Sherry and I went back to Drake It and picked up a bunch of turkeys and meals, and we were able to bless those in this community with those full meals, meat and vegetables and everything that goes with it when it came to Thanksgiving time. At Christmas, we stood with our freezing fingers as we brought God's light to the town common and raised our voices in praise. It was that Christmas Eve on the common. It was cold that night, 30 degrees. But we gathered and we brought the light of Christ to the common. We stepped out in faith right after that and began Saturday night preview services. And still people kept coming in. People were drawn by what we were doing. Did some stay? Yes. Did some leave? Yes. But God is orchestrating everything. We celebrated Easter and spoke of the power of the resurrection. We began to think about church differently, that we want to be missional. We want to be able to go out into our communities and be a blessing to the community and not just gather on Sunday mornings for ourselves. And so we began interesting things like the dump ministry. Okay. Anybody ever hear that before? The dump ministry. We went down to the transfer station and gave out free water and coffee. We participated in the bonfire on July 3rd by offering games and face painting to the kids just to make a positive impact, give them something to do. And then we held our Wild Family Rumpus, a completely free event. We didn't charge a thing for anything. We just wanted to bless our community. We had games for the kids, a bounce house, the dunk tank, free hot dogs, free popcorn, music, games, the face painting, and everything. It was a beautiful day, and I really truly believe we made a positive impact in this community. We had our first small groups, just a handful of small groups, where we began to focus on God's purposes and plans. And just in the beginning of this month, we began weekly services, seeking to establish this church as a solid rock in this town. And we celebrate because we can see God's hand upon each and every step. So we need to be careful to praise him throughout all of it. Psalm 67 says, may God be merciful and bless us. May his face smile with favor on us. May your ways be known throughout the earth, your saving power among people everywhere. May the nations praise you, O God. Yes, may all the nations praise you. Let the whole world sing for joy, because you govern the nations with justice and guide the people of the whole world. May the nations praise you, O God. Yes, may all the nations praise you. Then the earth will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will richly bless us. Yes, God will bless us, and people all over the world will fear him. It is the attitude of prayer that is critical, or praise, sorry. We need to make sure that we give honor to whom it is due. We shouldn't be like the Jimmy Stewart character. Does anybody know the old movie Shenandoah? All right, there we go. I was like, that's not really contemporary, but it's a great analogy. He was a patriarch of a large southern family, running a very successful plantation when the Civil War broke out. Early in the movie, the family sat down for dinner, and as they all bowed their heads, this is what he prayed. Lord, we cleared this land. We plowed it, sowed it, and harvested it. It wouldn't be here and we wouldn't be eating it if we hadn't done it all ourselves. We worked dog bone hard for every crumb and morsel, but we thank you just the same anyway for this food we're about to eat. Amen. So we have to make sure that we're not like that. Yes, we have the honor and privilege to partner with God to do the work that he's called us to do, but all the glory goes to him. Without his blessing, we wouldn't be here today. It is he that gave the vision and called me to plant. It is he that surrounded me with great encouragers and mentors like Brother Bill Button, like Gary Collette over at Bread of Life, and Barry Risto at Cornerstone Church. It is he that called each of the members of the church planting team. It is he who opened the doors for us to be here in this school. Praise God. It is he that made a way for us to be able to minister to the community, and he that protected us from those that stand against what we're trying to accomplish. It is he that speaks to hearts and draws them unto himself. And it is he that gives the gifts and talents that we use to glorify his name. So praise God. And as the psalmist says, our God will richly bless us. So all throughout the series, we have seen how God uses the natural to reveal things in the spiritual. And it is no different with the harvest. I'm going to share with you from Matthew 9, verses 35 to 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. First, just as he asks us to do, Jesus went about, yes? Preparing hearts to hear his message by healing people and performing miracles. We do the same as we reach out to our communities, being the hands and feet of Christ, blessing people, showing that you truly do care, praying with them, and being a real friend. That prepares hearts. And then he shared the gospel and sowed the most precious seed available. And we sow God's word the same way through our testimonies and sharing all that the Lord has done in and through our lives. And then in that scripture, with his heavenly eyes, Jesus looked upon the crowds, and the same type of crowds that we have here, sheep without a shepherd. And his heart broke for them, just as God's heart breaks for those who do not know him even now. They are harassed and neglected because there's no one to shepherd them. They have yet to hear the truth of God's word. You know, I remember sharing the vision with somebody 2 years ago or so. And planting a church in a small town doesn't have the same kind of, razzmatazz, excitement about getting in, you know, the inner city streets, you know, where there's a lot of drugs and homelessness, and you think about those things, and those are beautiful works. But I remember sharing with this person, and I said, but don't the people in Ashby need it too? And I was willing. I just knew that my heart was broken for this town. And it is because I felt like they needed a shepherd. We have another great church in this town, that Congregational Church. They're doing a work, but there's 3,000 people. There's more to be done. So maybe they have not heard the truth of God's word, and that's our job. Maybe it is that they've heard it, but they've not received it. Or maybe that they do not know about the relationship that they can have with God, that it's about relationship and not about religion or rites. It's about having a relationship with a God that loves you and cares for you and has a purpose and a plan for you. It's so much more than just religion. And so it is that we celebrate today because of the past year, but we're not done. Just as Brother Bill said, we are not done. This is just a beginning. This is absolute beginning. God is not done. The harvest is plentiful, plentiful. Can you not see it? Jesus then says to pray to the Lord of the harvest. Well, who is that? We talked about in John 15 last week that he's the true vine, and he says, my Father is the gardener. He is the Lord of the harvest. He is the Lord of all. It is his heart that all will be harvested unto himself. 2 Peter 3:9 says, God isn't late with his promise, as some measure lateness. He is restraining himself on account of you, holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone lost. He's giving everyone space and time to change. So even as we celebrate today, remember that there is a party that goes on in heaven like none other down here for each person that comes to faith in Christ. We can actively participate in a heavenly party just by being obedient to the Lord of the harvest, going into the field and bringing people into his harvest. Or maybe it's just responding to that still small voice in your heart that's calling you today to surrender to him. So today is a day for looking back, ever so briefly. We celebrate all that the Lord has done, but then we have to look forward. For as each harvest is celebrated, you know, at the end of the fall when they brought in the harvest and they're celebrating, that's not the end. Because next year, they wouldn't eat unless they began to do the work of preparing for another harvest. So as we celebrate today, know that there are so many more harvests to come, that we constantly have to be preparing ourselves. Preparation is being done. Hearts are being softened even now. As you share your testimony, as you speak to people, as you bless them, as we reach out into the community, hearts are beginning to be softened. And we continue to sow the seed that God would have us sow so that we can continually have a harvest and a celebration and participate in that heavenly party and rejoicing as each and every one comes into the fold. It is God's cycle. You may not have been raised on a farm, but today I hope you see yourself as farmers for the Lord. To put on your bib overalls and bite that piece of hay. And get down in the dirt and do the work of farming. For surely we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Amen?